Hello, what's this? It looks like a microphone.
I feel naked and exposed without a theme tune.
No
music.
Where's
my intro jingle? What is this? What are we doing here? Who are you?
Well, I think it's amusing that we said we were stopping F1 Debrief because we wanted to work on quality shows. Stop the treadmill of a show every couple of weeks and work on quality. And so we're putting out this, which is basically us chatting, no music, nothing.
It sounds like we haven't put very much thought into this at all. No planning, no preparation. You couldn't even find a jingle. What? Any jingle? You could sing us something.
You came up with a name, and my thought was really...
I didn't come up with a name. I didn't. I shamelessly and blatantly stole a name from... I forgot his name. A Radio 1 DJ in the UK who's not Chris Moyles.
That's how you're narrowing it down.
I can't for the life. He's too cool for me. I can't remember what his name is.
Scott Mills? No, he's
like,
not cool.
No, it's like what's the taller version of Scott Mills?
Greg James.
Right. He has this thing, or he had this thing, because it may already be finished, called Feet Up Friday on Radio 1. And I thought that's a really cool concept. This concept is completely different, but I like the idea of coming home from a long working week and talking to you about Formula 1 with our feet up, relaxed, laid back. The kind of thing that we have never done.
Glass of wine.
On Side Podcast before. Well, I've podcasted with wine before. Yeah. But definitely a glass of wine. We can have some nibbles, some dips, you know. Just snack and eat and drink and record it. And if it's any good, put it out as a podcast. And if it's not, throw it in a bin and pretend we never did anything of the sort. That was sort of the theory.
And I also thought that we had the playground for you to mess about on the website. And
this playground.
Yeah, this could sort of be our playground to test out podcasting things, you know, like jingles and
an audio
stuff.
Playground.
Yeah. Also, I don't know, maybe we missed podcasting.
So we took, the main reason for giving up Debrief was that we couldn't cope with doing 20 races a season, and Formula One was going in the direction of 20 or more races in a season. Last year, we got away with 19 due to the cancellation of Bahrain. This year, Bahrain is yet to be cancelled and looks unlikely to be cancelled. So that's the full 20 races in 2012. And that's too much work.
The big 20.
It scared me to do that much. It also, we can't really do F1 Debrief if we don't watch every single race. And we are, the way the UK television coverage is happening this year, we're only going to be able to watch 10 of the races live. And it would be very hard to debrief. Take to pieces a race that we just haven't, we've not managed to watch from beginning to end. We've just seen the highlights or whatever coverage we've managed to cobble together online. So Debrief was definitely out of the question. But this show, I guess, is like the final third of Debrief, which was us just waffling on about endless amounts of nonsense that was just inside our head, as opposed to discussing it, something that might have genuinely happened and have been of interest to other people.
Yeah, the people that said, oh, I don't like the bit where you talk about the site and I don't like the feedback and all that, they're not going to like this.
You know, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be scratching our head and wondering where all the subscribers went.
Yeah.
And this will be the reason.
Oh, well.
You don't have to. The thing is, it's optional. You don't have to listen to every show. And if you don't want to hear us just natter in this kind of relaxed and laid-back manner, just... Don't complain. Don't tell us.
We'll be doing other things
too. We'll do other cool stuff later.
It's fine.
Turn off and pretend this hasn't happened. This is just a figment of your imagination. It never existed.
There have been some F1 things that we could talk about though.
Go on, what's on your F1 mind?
The off season has been, quick. It's almost over. But there have been some highlights and some lowlights.
Talk me through your highlights of the F1 off-season.
Well, obviously, my highlight was the last-minute reprieve for Petrov. Yay!
Okay.
No one else likes it. Everyone else is like, oh, pay driver, rubbish, this is awful. But really, compared to having Trulli for another year, I'm all for it. Even if it wasn't Petrov, I'd take anyone.
Really? Anyone but Trulli?
Pretty much.
That's kind of harsh. What about Ralf Schumacher?
Yep.
You wouldn't.
Well, I always like the brotherly thing, so you know, I like seeing our brothers.
Michael
race
did
together,
come back,
so.
Maybe Ralf should have. That was a missed opportunity.
See?
I truly don't understand the appeal of Vitaly Petrov to you. I mean, I can see some people like Jaime Alguersuari, I can see, you know, when the guy takes his shirt off,
Chatterbox.
I can totally see why you like that guy.
Mm.
He looks like he's been photoshopped. But I don't see the appeal of Vitaly Petrov. He's not an attractive man.
Nope.
Is it the accent?
No.
What is it about him that you find enjoyable?
Well, enjoyable.
I don't want to be blunt. In case the guy is listening, I don't want to be blunt. But what is there to like about Vitaly Petrov?
I can't explain it. Nope. I just think that when we first saw him, when he first came to my attention that day outside the hotel thing where they were all leaving and no one knew who he was, my heart just went out to him.
When?
You know, we went to take pictures of drivers leaving their hotel at Silverstone.
Aha!
And nobody knew who he was. And my heart went out to him. I'm sure we've had this conversation before.
Yes, we have.
Before.
Okay, because, yes, everybody took pictures of Felipe Massa. And Jarno Trulli, incidentally, was recognised.
Yeah.
And nobody in the audience recognised Vitaly Petrov. So he kept his head down and he shuffled off into the car, slightly awkwardly embarrassed. Nobody asked him for his autograph. So you felt sorry for him then?
I didn't say I felt sorry for him. My heart went out to him.
And it stayed out.
There you go.
I genuinely can't fathom it. If anybody else out there listening has a thing for Vitaly Petrov and is glad.
I don't have a thing. I just like him. That's all. Shut up. Let's move on.
It's very odd. Go on. What else has caught your attention?
I liked that Guido Vandergaard has returned in some capacity because that's just an awesome name. It's so much fun to say. Well, yeah. Guido Vandergaard, though. How much fun is that to say?
Guido Vandergaard.
Guido. That's awesome.
I like
people with fun names, especially when there's no pressure on me to say them right.
You're not
like
going to get them wrong.
F1 Minute and such like. Because also, Ferrari signed Hirohide Hamashima from Bridgestone. Oh, that is awesome.
Say that again.
Hirohide Hamashima.
I could have that as a ringtone, you know? If I had a telephone and someone rang me, I'd like them to say...
Hirohide Hamashima.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could work.
It'd be even better if it was actually him calling.
That would be awesome.
You know.
Can I tell you my favourite name in Formula 1?
Yeah.
Timo Glock.
Really?
I have never, in 6 years of side podcast, ever misspelt Timo Glock. I've never had to look up his
name.
You
like it because it's easy.
There are no accents. No one has ever said, by the way, you've spelt that with, you know, you've missed the O off of Timo. I love somebody with a very short and succinct name that I cannot get wrong.
So not Kimi Räikkönen then?
Too many of those little things above those letters.
Too many K's and O's and umlauts.
Yeah, and things like, I mean, Heike, I must have looked up how to spell Kovalainen 1,000 times on Google since we started Side Podcast. It's just too many letters. There should be a limit on how long a driver's name should be. You know, like you've got the 3-letter short code for when they're racing to keep the timing screens very short and succinct. Pretty much every driver should just have a name that's just that long. We should just refer them to that. GLO. That's all I need to know about Timo Glock.
Talking of people's names, didn't we find out a surprise today?
I had a shock today.
Shocker.
Shocker. Mr. Joe Saywood wasn't really christened Joe. You know, I thought Joe might have been short for Joseph, but even when I checked on Wikipedia, it just said his name is Joe Saywood. And I love the guy, but today I learned his real name is Jonathan.
Jonathan Saywood.
And that's not quite as cool. You know?
Well,
you can't have an aside with Jonathan.
Mm, yeah.
It doesn't work.
But that's why he calls himself Joe. Actually, his full name is Jonathan Mark Christopher Saywood, which is a nice collection of names. But having known him as Joe for many years.
It's just not right.
It is a bit odd.
We used to do an introduction to the Joe Show where we dug up lots of facts about all sorts of interesting things that Joe had done. And I've never come across this information before. I feel like a terrible researcher.
So we ran out of information and sort of stopped doing that.
I scoured the whole web. I literally ran out of information. There were no more facts in the world on Joe, except there are.
The next Joe Show, you'll have something to bring back.
Indeed. I also found out Tony's real name, and that was a shocker too. Tony Fernandez.
Yeah.
He wasn't born and christened Tony.
No.
I mean, he's Tony to you and I. He's Tony of that catering
Anthony,
team.
Presumably.
Anthony.
Anthony Fernandez sounds weird.
I know. What a shock. That's the shock of the off-season. I'm not sure. I'm going to take a while to get over that.
Actually, earlier you said to me, Mr. Anthony Francis Fernandez, and I couldn't figure out who you were talking about.
It
took me a while.
It's just wrong. He's that bloke off of QPR and Caterham, and he's not called Anthony. Your real name's Christine, right? You're not going to shock
me with... That's what I'd have you believe. Also this off-season, and also quite a shocker, the new look of the cars.
Presumably by this point in the show, we are now just down to the 3 listeners, the very dedicated fans of Side Podcast, the people who just listen to you read out the phone book. But okay, let's talk about some noses. What do you think, what's your favourite F1 nose this year?
Well, there are 2, and one is a McLaren and one is a Marussia, clearly.
I cannot disagree with that. I have to say... I'm going to be watching Formula One with one eye closed and the other sort of between my fingers, you know, my hands
hiding
over
behind
my
the
eyes.
Sofa.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing. F1 from behind the sofa. I am not going to get used to this look. Thankfully, it's a temporary thing, supposedly. At the end of this season, the regulations will change again and we will not have this horrible bump at the front of Formula One cars that make them look dreadfully un-aerodynamic. And that's the thing about Formula One. You want the cars to look amazingly fast. Even if they're as slow as a Williams, you still want them to look gorgeous and sleek and slimline and the kind of thing that will just punch a hole through the air and, you know, something that says speed. And these noses don't say speed. They say speed bump.
Well, half the feedback that we've got says, well, I don't know why it matters what they look like. It shouldn't matter. As long as, you know, the racing is good and they're fast enough, why does it matter? They don't have to be beautiful.
But they do.
I think they do.
These people are wrong. These people are... what's wrong with anybody who thinks Formula One doesn't have to look amazing? Sponsors... Formula One relies on income from other sources. Formula One doesn't itself generate any money other than for Bernie's pocket. So therefore, teams rely on sponsorship and money from third parties. And those third parties are only interested in sponsoring Formula One if... their logo looks amazing, and the logos aren't going to look amazing on cars this year. And anybody who thinks that the look of Formula One cars do not matter are clearly out of their mind.
F1 has been ugly in the past, and it's survived and carried on, and it's not the end of the world. But it's only not the end of the world because then it got pretty again.
And it will get pretty again.
It will do that. But I just think that those ugly cars, like that hideous Williams and some of the weird things that happened in the 70s and the 80s.
Which hideous Williams?
The one with the tusks.
No! No, now you're being silly. The tusk-nosed Williams. That was nice. That wasn't as bad as this.
No, it wasn't as bad as this. I didn't say that.
Right.
I just said it was hideous.
Okay, no, I liked the tusk-nosed Williams, which is hard to say after half a glass of wine.
Well, anyway, the ones that you don't like... they don't tend to have as much in the way of memorabilia. You know, people don't buy the artwork of those cars. They don't buy the little models and the die-cast things. And I think that's a big part of Formula One. I mean, it's not massive, but it's, you know, adding to the history and everything. You want people to be enthusiastic enough to buy memorabilia. And I'm not going to want to do that of disgusting-looking cars.
No. And anybody in Formula One... who thinks that the looks of the cars don't matter could be in for a shock this year. If people turn off in their droves if you're a young motorsport fan and you're trying to convince your friends that they should be watching Formula One 2, you are going to get bullied out of the playground with the looks of Formula One this year. As soon as people clock these cars, they are going to be laughing at you. It's not a clever look.
Yeah, you know, all the people that... say, oh, F1 is boring, it's the rubbish motorsport, it's not very good.
It's ugly.
We could always say, oh, but at least the cars are pretty. We don't have that argument anymore.
We haven't been able to say that since 2000 and, was it 9 that they brought the high rear wings and the front, the wide low front wings? The looks of Formula One cars have been going downhill progressively year on year, and this year they took an almighty step lower.
Time for the upswing.
It is about time for the upswing. Before we move away from the looks of Formula One cars, what are you thinking of liveries this year? Any surprises? It looks mostly the same.
Most of
the
field
is unchanged. Well, the HRT has changed and the Virgin looks different.
I don't remember seeing them, to be honest.
The HRT, I'm liking the gold look of the HRT. I like the new logo that looks like something from Tron. That's nice. Don't quite get why it looks like that, but I like what they've done with it.
But gold on a Formula One car doesn't work, because didn't the Force India have some gold on it and that was not good?
Well, hasn't Force India got the problem with their logo? They've taken the Sahara logo and they've just dumped it on the Force India branding.
Yeah,
and
I
then
think,
that just doesn't fit at
I
all.
I think we talked about this in an F1 debrief, and then over the winter we thought they would fix it.
They've got time to sort it out now, but no, they're just sticking with that. They're going to go ahead with that. That's fine. I think the HRT has made a major step forward from, was it last season when they had "This is your cool spot, goes here, advertise on me," that hideous, the terrible concept that was almost as bad as the Earth Dreams livery. So that's gone. And they've got something better this year. I quite like what they've done.
They're at least pretending they've got sponsors now.
They have got sponsors. They've got sponsors from, what's the guy who's in the car? Narain. Is it Narain in the car?
Yeah.
They've got sponsors from him. There's Tata all over it. And that's good. That's, you know, he's bringing money to the team.
Have you seen my revamped rankings?
Christine's rankings, 2012.
Yeah,
it's bigger, it's better, it's more awesome than ever. I love it. Yes, I have seen it. I may have helped sort of put it together.
Yeah.
Spent quite a lot of time on that, actually.
You probably have seen it then.
Yeah. Seen it a bit too much.
Redesigned
I'm sick
it.
Of it, really. Mm. Bored of it. Got anything else?
Oh, rubbish.
No, don't mean that, really.
That's not fair. It's quite exciting because I like that I don't have to collect everything and then update it once a week. I'm posting updates all the time.
It's an ongoing thing. Every single day, you are always keeping your eye on drivers.
Yeah.
Who have... Is it drivers who've competed in any session this year, including Fridays? So at the moment, you've just got the stock entry list.
Mm-hmm.
But you will be keeping your eye on Friday drivers, which now includes... Was it Rossi who was announced today?
Yeah.
And I forgot what her name is.
Maria.
Maria. We'll just call her Maria.
Yeah.
Is she going to be a Friday driver, or is she just a test driver that doesn't ever sit in the car?
Well, they...
It's all PR, right?
Well, they didn't really say... I mean, they said that towards the end of the year she'll get a chance in some F1 machinery, but that doesn't necessarily mean a Friday.
She might go up the Goodwood Hill then.
Yeah, you never know.
That kind of thing. I wouldn't expect to see her on a Friday. She's not going to make the rankings. It would be nice if she did.
It would be nice if she did, although I don't know if she's on the Twitters and things like that.
We ought to check that out. I do know, the only thing I know about that lady is we were watching a Super League race many a year ago, and her one contribution was to crash into the race leader, Sebastian Bourdais.
Oh, I thought I recognised their name.
And that upset you a lot, so I'm surprised that you've forgiven her already. Because you're not known for your...
Yeah, but you see, because since then I've fallen out with Bourdais, so...
You're not that bothered now.
Not bothered anymore. Mark Webber is leading at the moment, which was something of a surprise to me, but then he does tweet about like chocolate and recommends things like that, and that always goes down well.
But new to Twitter, the man who's come out of absolutely nowhere for 2012, Mr. Kamui Kobayashi. What a hero, what a guy. Loving his contributions.
People do seem to love him on Twitter, and it's easy to understand why, because I think there's something of like the language barrier that just makes things, you know, lost in translation things really quite amusing in the nicest possible way, not in a bad way. Like, for instance, he wrote a tweet that said he was going to pick up something which I odor, W-I-T-C-H, I odor. I think he meant order.
A witch odor?
A witch odor.
So, how does a witch smell?
I don't know. He also tweeted, I increase my fat after physical test. No way they say looks much better. I wish people would say I looked much better after increasing fat.
I love him already. This guy is the perfect man for tweeting.
He also tweeted, from morning, I'm running like dog with my tongue out. And there's a picture of him at the gym. I might have to give him some points for that, actually.
Oh, what a start. If you're not following Kamui on Twitter, what's his Twitter handle? How do people follow the guy? Because you've got to get in on this action.
Kamui _ Kobayashi.
You can't miss out. If you're on Twitter, make sure that you follow the man. He's a hero. He's born to do this.
He is going to do really well on the rankings this year, I'm sure of it. Also, the good thing about the rankings is that you can send your suggestions to me. There's suggestion box on the rankings page, and you can tweet them at the dedicated Twitter account that is new this year, at F1 Rankings. So we're contactable in any way. Send your suggestions to me and I will consider them for points.
I have no idea what this is about, but Kamui tweeted again, they are going to take a lot of blood. They are Dracula. I have no idea. Literally no idea. I like making up potential scenarios that he might be talking about, but, you know, I could be miles out.
There are quite a lot of people we haven't heard from so far this off-season, though.
Quiet drivers.
Lots of people haven't got points on the rankings yet.
And what have they been up to?
Well,
where have they
know.
Been?
People
who,
like...
Who are we missing?
Sebastian Vettel?
Not got a lot to say for himself. He's done loads of interviews about his car and about the pace, and not that exciting a guy over the off-season.
No. Kimi Raikkonen, he hasn't got anything yet, but he is going to be on Top Gear.
I'm very much looking forward to his appearance on Top Gear. We were watching a clip before we started recording the show. He looks hilarious.
Pastor Maldonado... Although probably the less said about him, the better, really. Felipe Massa. Now, do I have a story to tell you about Felipe Massa?
Do you?
Well, you know,
a
while ago, probably on one of the debrief shows, we were talking about how rude Stefano Domenicali was about Massa. He was singing the praises of Alonso, saying he's brilliant, he's the best driver we've ever had, we're going to do amazing things as long as he's on board. And also, Massa drives for us as well.
Oh, he exists.
That kind of thing.
Mm.
Well, that's happened again. Because in the launch, of the car, Domenicali said, for Fernando, I don't have to add anything about his skill. Felipe has been here 10 seasons. It's just so mean.
Felipe is a man.
He is also here. Well done.
Felipe's in the corner breathing. By the way, are you guys sitting comfortably? Are you enjoying this new format?
Well, yes.
We know that nobody's still listening. We know that nobody's not bothered. But, you know, we should mention that it is Feet Up Friday. And I do actually have my feet up. Do you have your feet up? Are you chilled out? Are you relaxed? Are you taking it easy?
Yeah,
we have
not?
Scented candles. That's the first for Side Podcast.
Yep.
There's a whole vibe going on here that we've never had before. We've got wine. We're relaxed.
I just think drinking wine and then knocking over the candles and it's all going to be a disaster. So I'm not quite as relaxed
you're
as I probably could be.
You're going to burn the studio down.
Yeah.
That would make this worth listening to. If you're still listening, don't tune out.
Anything can happen.
anything can happen in the next 3 minutes.
So along with rankings, which has been spruced up, we've also been making some other changes to the site.
The site has been growing, lots of coding, lots of new features. It's looking very good. But whilst I've been doing that, you've also been busy. You've released a new book.
I did. I wrote another book.
Your fourth book.
Yep.
You are prolific, yep. If nothing else. I must say that I've been slightly disappointed in Side Podcast listeners. Although they've been buying your book, which is fantastic, and we like people who buy your book, they've not been reviewing it with the same amount of gusto that they did with your first book.
Well, I can only assume that they don't like it.
Is that what it is?
That's what it must
be. They've taken a look at it and thought, I've got nothing good to say about that. But also, I've got nothing bad to say about
you know,
that.
Well, the polite thing is, if you've got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all.
No. I would like to request some feedback because it looks lonely. Compared to your old book, has got all these gushing reviews from these fantastic people who made the effort to go to Amazon and leave you some feedback in response to the first one, and it's kind of just gone quiet on your new book, and that's a shame. I would like more people to come along because if nothing else, the cover is better. There has been a significant improvement, even if you don't like any of the content. Just leave a review and say how much nicer the cover is and how much more professional.
You just want people to comment on the cover.
Well,
that's fair enough. I suppose we should actually tell people what the book is.
Okay, what is the book?
It's called The Pocket F1 Handbook, Guide to the 2012 F1 Season. And it is your season. Well, I don't want to say season preview because it might be useful throughout the year. You know, it's got information about all the drivers, all the teams, all the individual races, plus a look back at what happened in 2011. So you can reference things that happened last year. And it's just a handy pocket sized guide to have for the upcoming season.
I think this is genius because whenever you're out and about with your digital devices, there are times in life when you don't have any signal or you don't want to spend any money on your allocated monthly bandwidth or whatever, but maybe you've gone to Silverstone and there's never any signal, as we know, at Silverstone at all. Yeah. Because it's a field in the middle of blooming nowhere and 50,000 people descend on it and they break all of the single cell tower that feeds, you know, normally throughout the rest of the year, a village full of people suddenly can't cope with the 60,000 cell phones descending on the area. With this book, you've got an offline copy of all the information you need to attend to a Grand Prix, to find out what's going on with the season, to find out who the drivers are and what they got up to and what their standing is in the Formula One world up to this point in the year. And it's an offline copy of all the information you need to get you through the year. And I think it's a fantastic idea. Nothing like that exists out there at the moment. And I think you've created a whole, a small niche for yourself for people who need offline access to Formula One information at the click of a button, who happen to have a Kindle or an iPod or an iPhone in their pocket.
I think that's probably all we've got to talk about at the moment.
You're telling me we ran out of no content.
This is just a bit
We had nothing to discuss, and now we've ran out of that nothingness.
It was a bit of a catch-up over the off-season, and it seems like not much has happened in the off-season, but it's because we've been working so hard on the book and the site. Actually, we don't have that much to say. But
okay.
Hey, we've done pretty well, I think. If anyone has made it this far, thank you for listening.
What am I going to do now? I'm all chilled out and relaxed. I'm zen.
Yeah.
I'm F1 Zen. The season isn't ready to start yet. We've done the podcast.
Yeah.
What am I going to do now?
Well, the season is not far away. Just one more week.
Okay, I can't wait. I have to say, I'm very much looking forward to the season. Last year, there was a runaway title winner, and I very much hope that doesn't happen in 2012. I'm looking forward to a really close battle up the front. I'm looking forward to seeing all the highlights and the races I can't watch and the races in full that I can watch.
I think this is going to be a really interesting season for me because over the winter, because you've sort of buried your head in the sand of coding and you haven't followed anything. The occasional F1 minute that you've listened to. So I'm going to be the expert this year and you're going to be asking me questions. And that is like a complete reverse of how this whole relationship with Formula One started.
That's true. It's going to be a bit weird. I desperately wanted to contribute to your F1 predictions Mega Mix podcast from a couple of weeks back. And when I sat down to write my predictions, I realized that all of my predictions were based on what happened last year, because I genuinely had absolutely no idea what had happened from the moment the racing stopped until now. I just switched off. And my predictions were Sebastian Vettel's going to do very, very well, and Mark Webber isn't going to do very well, and hold on a second, I don't know any of the relative performances of any of the cars. So from my point of view, I know less about the upcoming Formula One season than I ever have since even before we started Side Podcast. It's been 10 years since I knew this little going into a Formula One season, or presumed this, you know, information before, because you never really know, but you have some concept and some ideas. I really don't. This year is going to be an absolute surprise to me, and I'm liking that. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that is good. That is good to hear. So stay tuned to sidepodcast.com and to f1minute.com for the news and all the exciting things that the community comes up with. And I don't suppose we've got any outro music either, so I guess we just have to say goodbye.
Sing us out.
No.